Continue our focus on pesticides this hour. In our earlier segment, we got a short course in IPM, Integrated Pest Management. It's a multi-pronged approach to keeping pests at bay that often involves pesticides, but generally not as the main prong. But it's the pesticides and their use that concerns our next guest, with a focus on one crop in one corner of our region. Easter lilies grow well in the climate at the coast, hard by the state line on the California side, which is also home to the Smith River, one of California's last free-flowing rivers. The Siskiyou Land Conservancy wants changes in the use of chemicals on the Easter lilies to protect the river and its surroundings. Greg King is founder, president, and executive director of the Siskiyou Land Conservancy and studio guest here on The Exchange. Greg, thanks for joining us.
Jeff, thanks so much for having me.
So tell us about the general focus of the Siskiyou Land Conservancy.
Well, we started out as a land trust in 2004 and absorbed a previous group that I had founded called Smith River Project, and it was just Smith River-centric. But what the land trust, why we founded the land trust was to have an entity that could accept property and conservation easements to protect private properties, and not just in Del Norte County, but in five northwestern counties in California. So that was the focus. But we did absorb the work of the Smith River Project, which was looking at pesticides at the Smith River estuary.
So the name has changed, but the focus is still largely upon the Smith River. Is that fair to say?
In large part, a lot of our resources go there. We do work in we have projects currently in three counties. We're creating a conservation easement right now for the Mad River. So we're still doing that work. But the pesticide work that we're doing at the Smith River estuary is rather intensive, so it does take a lot of our focus.
Are Easter lilies the main crop, the only crop? What's the general story there?
Easter lilies are the only crop that are using such extensive pesticides, such volume of pesticides. There are other agricultural entities on the Smith River Plain. Alexander Dairy is a good example. A lot of people know Alexander Eggs and the milk products, and it's all organic. And they have several thousand acres that they operate, and we really appreciate that operation. The lily growers, Easter lily growers in Del Norte County and a little bit in the southwest Oregon coast, produce 100% of the Easter lily bulbs used in North America, United States and Canada.
They all come from there.
They all come from there. We used to hear 90 to 95%, and we kept trying to locate the other 5% or so, and the lily growers contend that it's 100%, and I believe it. To grow this monoculture, the lily growers on bottomland surrounding the vital Smith River estuary use 300,000 pounds of highly toxic pesticides. And to give you an idea of the concentration, in 2002, the Smith River Project commissioned the Center for Ethics and Toxics, headed by the eminent toxicologist Dr. Mark LePay, to do a study of pesticide use on the Smith River Plain, on the Easter lilies. And what they found was that not only was there a significant risk to the aquatic ecosystem of the Smith River estuary, and it can all be found on our website, siskiyouland.org, but the lily growers used the chemicals methamsodium and 1,3-dichloropropene, which are highly toxic fumigants, in pounds per acre amounts that were higher than anywhere else in California, which is really saying something. Now, since that, that studied pesticide use from 1996 to 2000. Mm-hmm. And since then, the use of both of those chemicals has doubled.
Really?
Yes, it's a phenomenal amount of pesticides used on a very small amount of acreage, again, surrounding this really very fragile and critically important estuary, important in terms of the entire West Coast, salmonid, salmon and steelhead populations. As you mentioned, the Smith River is the only free-flowing river in California. There's no dams. It's also one of the cleanest rivers in the world. It is considered a core watershed. That's the National Marine Fisheries Service calls it a core watershed for coho salmon, which is disappearing from a south-to-north trajectory in California. And so for us to see this pesticide use on these bottomlands, which we now know is contaminating the Smith River estuary, which the California Regional Water Quality Control Board found pesticides in 2010 and 2013 in surface waters, and found chronic and acute reproductive toxicity for the food chain, the zooplankton that makes up the salmon food chain when they come into the estuary. So it's a significant problem. I personally have been working on it for 15 years this month, and it didn't think it'd take this long to get any kind of action, and we are seeing a little bit of action, but no diminishment in pesticide use.
You mentioned when you came in that you've been at this since 2001, so yeah, 15 years, and as you point out this month, Greg King is our guest on The Exchange, the founder, president, and executive director of the Siskiyou Land Conservancy, and we're talking about the use of pesticides on the Easter Lily crops in Del Norte County around the Smith River. Join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 by email jx@jeffnet.org. My ears went up a little bit when you mentioned the chemicals. Metam sodium was in the tank car that fell into the Sacramento River during the derailment in the mid-90s, didn't it?
1991. Uh-huh. Yeah, Cantera Loop dumped one entire rail car of it and killed everything in the river for 40 miles until it diluted in Lake Shasta. 1,3-dichloropropene is in the news quite a bit right now because both of those are significant carcinogens, are listed on the California Prop 65 list of carcinogens. And there are neighborhoods, particularly in Monterey County, but also elsewhere in California, that are attempting to get the 1,3-D use pushed back from their neighborhoods, from their schools. Both of these are fumigants, so they're applied, they're injected into the soil, and then they off-gas for days. And we know that it gets well into neighborhoods, and that is another one of our concerns, is the people of Smith River, the small town, that are surrounded by this pesticide use.
So for 15 years you've been at this, and it sounds like things have actually gone in the opposite direction. What's the resistance to the changing in the use of the pesticides, and what are they trying to? What are the pesticides meant to keep away? What are
right,
they treating for?
Right. Well, that's a good question. The latter question first. The fumigants are mostly meant to control nematodes, but they're also what I call an omnicide. They basically sterilize the soil. They kill everything in the soil and make it kind of a blank petri dish for planting. Fungicides that are used, copper hydroxide, a lot of copper products, more than 40,000 pounds a year of copper products, class one, which is the most toxic, and very toxic to fish, the copper is. And there's copper found in estuary surface waters not long ago. So mostly fungi and nematodes and other critters that attack the lily bulbs. The other question, what was the first question?
The first question is why it's gone on, why it seems to be going the opposite direction.
Right.
It sounds like there's more use of these pesticides.
Well, they change a little bit. So the metam sodium and the 1,3-D have stayed rather constant. There's another kind of an alphabet soup of other pesticides that have come and gone, and some go up and some go down. But it's about 300,000 pounds a year every year. And the reason that it doesn't change is, A, it's a monoculture, and it's very tightly planted. And the lily growers have gotten this down to a formula where they can produce their crop. They have the monopoly on this crop, and it's not lucrative. It's paying, you know, some decent salaries probably, but nobody's getting rich. The other part of it is that I want to mention is that, interestingly, Siskiyou Land Conservancy, one of the reasons we founded was to protect farmlands. You know, we support farmers. We just cannot support this level of pesticide use. So the lily growers tell us, and I believe this to be true, that without the pesticides, if they were to grow in the same place, it's kind of like growing garlic in the same place every year, then without the pesticides, then the critters would just take over and win. And I believe that. However, what is also true is that Easter lily bulbs have been grown in the area since 1919, when a U.S. sailor brought them over from Bermuda and planted them, and they were grown what we would call now organically all the way through World War II into the 1950s. During World War II, when crops were cut off from especially Japan, bringing them into the United States, that's when things really started to kick in Smith River to grow the Easter lily bulbs. So we know that it can be done, you know, so-called organically, or at least without this level of pesticides, but not probably serving all of North America.
Is that the problem? Is that there's too much of a market for it? I mean, there's too much growing of Easter lilies. Is that your point?
Well, that hasn't changed a whole lot. The actual demand over the last, say, 20, 30 years, I think it has gone up somewhat. But because this area turns out to be such a perfect region for growing Easter lily bulbs, it doesn't freeze, it doesn't get too hot, and so it has turned out to be a great place for growing them, but only, as it turns out, in the late last 30 years, with this level of pesticide use. Now, if there was more significant crop rotation, the Easter lily growers do rotate and they'll graze dairy cows and beef cows on the lands when they're taken out of production, and then they're brought back in. But diversification, your last guest was talking a lot about that, diversification and how, you know, the things that the pesticides are used to control are actually getting an upper hand. And I think that's what we're seeing now with the doubling of these two pesticides, metamsodium and 1,3-D. But the crop is constant. They're able to get it out. But we feel that the price is far too high in terms of the damage done to the Smith River estuary, which is now proven by the California Water Quality Control Board, and what we know about the people of the town of Smith River. And we recently mailed a health survey to every individual in Smith River, and we're getting some rather stunning returns on that. So we know it's a problem. People there are quite concerned. And we also know it's a problem for the aquatic ecosystem of the Smith River estuary.
Nematodes, I was doing some research on recently, they can be really tough critters to get rid of. So it turns into a bit of an arms race, it sounds like, where they keep pumping more stuff in. Is that the case?
Right. The nematodes, they can adapt kind of like the, you know, how your last guest was talking about the, and you brought up the question of the antibiotics. The nematodes are adapting, and that is, everyone knows this about pesticides, that the what you're fighting does adapt. And there is no panacea in this realm. So what we would like to see, and we've actually suggested this, and we talked with our Congressman Jared Huffman, to see about getting some federal funding for the lily growers to at least experimentally transition to organic. And I think that would be a fair thing. You know, we don't want to hurt the lily growers economically. We would love to see nothing more than, 1,000 acres of organic Easter lilies. But until then, you know, we have to resist this pesticide use.
Greg King from the Siskiyou Land Conservancy is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about pesticide use on Easter lilies in the Smith River area or hard by the state line on the California side. Join us on the exchange with your questions or comments, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Mark in Reading. Welcome to the exchange.
Good morning. Since this is not a food crop, does that reduce the amount of regulation as to the amount of pesticides allowed to be used on the crop?
Good question. Thanks for that, Mark.
Yeah, that is a good question. No, it does not. The regulations are pretty much the same across the board. There are some restrictions for food crops in terms of residues on the – so you get a head of lettuce and it's not supposed to have pesticide residues on it. But, for instance, the 1,3-dichloropropene, most of that is used – not most of it, but a million pounds a year is used in Monterey County, and most of that is used for strawberries. So it's rather remarkable to me that such volume of pesticides are used on food crops, but no, the regulations in California are the same for food as for non-food crops.
Boyd in Wolf Creek by email asks, why not boycott Easter lilies? You're trying to maintain good relations with the farmers, it sounds like.
We are, you know, and we've worked with them and tried to work with them for 15 years, and that's actually a very good question about the boycott. So we have avoided trying to harm them economically. We don't want that. We don't want farmers to go away in the Smith River Plain. Again, we support sound agriculture. And, you know, we would like to see more of the Alexander Dairy type of agriculture come in. But, you know, we're not particularly against Easter lilies at all. In fact, I love Easter lilies. I grow Easter lilies, which is kind of ironic, in my garden. And I don't use pesticides on them, and they grow just fine. But this year, for the first time ever, we are asking Easter lily consumers to seek out some alternatives to Easter lilies. And some of those are peace lilies and calla lilies and white Peruvian lilies, Easter daisies and moon orchids and white roses, and to actually send a message to the growers that and with your dollar support, the idea that we're not going to really support chemical use like this on the vital Smith River Plain.
You mentioned acute reproductive toxicity found in the Smith River estuary. Toxic to the reproduction of what?
It's Ceriodaphnia dubia is the water flea, and that is used as a species that is looked at by the water board and other people testing for toxics to see if it can reproduce and survive in the water. So what they did was they gathered some water and they tried to see if this, and it's the basis of the salmonid food chain, these little zooplankton, and they wanted to see if that they could survive in the water. If they could reproduce, and what they found was in three places, the water that they drew from the creeks feeding the estuary, the creeks that run through the Easter Lily Fields, could not reproduce. And in one spot at the mouth of Rowdy Creek, which is one of the two most important coho salmon streams on the Smith River, at the mouth of Rowdy Creek, they found acute reproductive toxicity, which means if you were to drop a baby water flea in the water, it would die. That's highly toxic for the estuary of one of the world's cleanest rivers and one of the United States' most important salmon streams. So we found this to be very alarming. In 2010 and 2013, these results came in. They found 10 pesticides in surface waters at the time. And what is almost as alarming is the fact that the state has not taken any action. Once they found this, they needed to take enforcement action under the Clean Water Act, and that has not happened. In fact, we have had four events since the mid-1980s of significant pesticide toxicity found in wells and in surface waters, and never has the state taken any action for enforcement or even remediation. So we're very concerned about that, and that is why, for the first time ever, that and the fact that the pesticide use has not changed in volume, we are asking consumers to make different choices this year.
In fact, we've got about a minute left here. The state of California gave an award to Easter Lily farmers a year ago for reducing pesticide use, and the Siskiyou Land Conservancy ridiculed the award. Why?
Right. Well, because they said that the pesticide use had diminished by 50% over 20 years, and we track those numbers through the Department of Pesticide Regulation's own website, and we found that it actually had doubled in that 20 years. It was incredible, and they admitted that they had made a mistake, yet the Easter Lily growers still got their award. DPR, Pesticide Regulation, is rather fallacious organization, or at least the name, because they get 70% of their funding from pesticide sales, and we think that's a conflict of interest.
That's an interesting approach. Okay, so things have not changed much. I mean, is there a next big step we should be looking for in the next year or so?
Yes, I think that the next step is for consumers, as always with all crops, I think, to try to change practices with their dollars. That's the most effective thing that we have found. We have not gotten what we need out of the agencies like DPR, like Water Quality Board, and so we're turning to consumers.
All right, Greg King is the founder, president, and executive director of the Siskiyou Land Conservancy. And we're talking about the Easter Lilies along the Smith River in Northern California. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Great, Jeffrey. Thank you so much.